ready for the world.
We're ready for God's world.
Lord, we live in a busy world. Hallelujah. We live in what? World is busy. Amen. World is what? World is busy and majority are confused. Majority are confused. The world is busy. Majority are confused. So the strength of a Christian is in quietness. Is in what? Is in quietness. If you can learn to practice a godly quietness, you're not going to spend, you know, the best times to follow God's leading for your life is when you're young. I said something on Sunday. I said, God is always available, right, to use us. But the irony there is that we are not always available to be what? To be used. Look at me, for example. Not regret, no. Not a regret. But sometimes, I wished I had been involved in the work of a ministry while I was on campus. I'm no more on campus. I left campus about 12 years ago. I left campus. about 9-10 years ago, rather. Yep. It's actually that I left the university. Over 10 years ago. When I said left the university, I'm talking about my BSc. I finished my BSc over 10 years ago. And today, that's 10 years after. Today, sometimes I sit down and I'm like, I wish I had given more shots. And I remember something. Like I said, not regretting. God is far from it. But I remember his thoughts. And now it's coming to me much more real. As I'm talking right now, it's dawning on me more. Now, while I was on doing my undergraduate studies, one of the things I would say, now, if I tell you the story, or some of the story, some of you have been around you, you've heard me say, read a whole lot. There was a time we were holding meetings every day. We were holding meetings for about 8 months, every day. And some of those meetings were praying up to 20 hours, 18 to 20 hours, daily. When we prayed lesser, there's this friend of mine, Lawrence Oyo, you know, we will hold those meetings. We used to hold those meetings. A meeting we actually started together. What they call UI president. We'll pray. Now I know he's taking the meetings to some places now. Will you praise? These praise, it's fine. Was largely his initiative. But we have planted those meetings together. University of Abuja. We will go to secondary schools. We will go together to the schools we are going to in Ogun State. Secondary school outreaches. We held secondary school outreaches in Ogun State. Primary and secondary schools for a very long time. So there was a time that we literally prayed. Because the truth of the matter is that whatever they hold over. Much about that, but I mean, in the midst of those activities, I remember as I got closer to my final year, it was so clear to me that I was exiting the undergraduate phase of my studies. And I remember in my heart that some of those times, what I told myself is that I'm coming back to the campus. Now, what I meant then, and now, by I'm coming back to the campus is not that probably I'm coming to come and study again, but I mean that I'm bringing ministry to the campus, because we saw what pervaded the atmosphere at that time, and we knew that we couldn't resolve the whole thing in those 3 years. Right? So I found solace in the fact that we are bringing ministry back to the campus, more or less like conferences, outreaches, crusades in the campus, and we're still going to do it. But the truth of the matter is that going back to the campus now, you will need platforms that you would not need if you were a student, because you had the legal right to do certain things. Are we together? Now, that's just an example of many other areas of our lives, which boils down to the fact that men to actually obey God and to follow His leadings for your life is while you're young. The older you get, is it clear? Are you with me? The older you get, getting old ought to be you developing stature. And in the things of God. But you can't develop stature and depth in something you are not started. You cannot. Are we together? You can't develop stature in something that has not even what? Started. So the best time to actually obey God. And you see, when you obey God, don't obey God halfway. Don't what? Don't obey God what? Halfway. Hear your neighbor say, we don't obey God halfway. You see, half obedience, partial obedience is disobedience. Is it clear? Is it clear? Partial disobedience is what? Partial obedience rather is what? Disobedience. Partial obedience is what? If God says 3 hours of prayer every day, don't do 2 hours. Don't do it. Don't do what? Don't do what? Do the what? James says that when we pray, in 5 and 16, he says, we make what available? Power. Now, what? Ability to walk. Is it clear? Walk. Power is how we walk, is how we get things done. Through power. Through what? Power. Is how what? Get things done. Through power. The mic I'm speaking with is walking now. The mics are walking, the screens are walking, the ventilations are walking, the fans are walking, the speakers, the sound system, the lights are walking, because the machine that is generating enough power for that. Are we there? Are we there? Now you can see this is walking, this is not walking. So sometimes we have to alternate. We've observed that we have to alternate sometimes, because the machine we are using cannot bear both. The moment we put that on, you will hear it struggling. Now, if you don't respond to that, you will damage the piston or the engine, and it will not even be able to do anything again. And that's God's wisdom in the natural. You can't dare some things if you have not made some level of power available. You cannot. You can't. Can't bear some things. Are you listening to me? You can what? You can't bear some things. You can't bear some things. If you have not assessed a commensurate level of what? Energy. Someone say energy. So look at it. Prayer generates what? Energy. Prayer generates what? Power. Prayer generates what? It generates power. Praise God. You know what that power does? That power to see things and say things. And what? Do things. Do you get what I'm saying? That energy, power that prayer alone generates makes you to be able to what? To see things, to know things. And to what? To say things. Look at me. Look at me, everyone. There are some things that will never come to your mind to say. And the reason is because there is no enough what? Power. It can't occur to you to say it. It can't occur to you to what? To pronounce it. It can't occur. And look at this. What you say. Are you with me? What you say is a function of what you have seen and known. So revelation is what fuels utterances. Revelation. Someone say revelation. So God wants you to see things. Hey! Some people's eyes are clothed with scales. They can see. God wants you to. Look at what it is. It says, call unto me and I will answer you, right? And I will do what? I will show you. God's answer to prayer is what? He will show you. He wants you to see. Until you see certain things, you can't say it because it can't occur to your mind. Those realities don't dwell in the community of men, of natural men. To a natural man, they are impossibilities. Impossibility. Now, when we pray, our eyes are what? Open. Then we can say, we can speak forth the things of God. Then we can do them, or others can do them. Are we together? Look at me. If you ever have a privilege of leading other Christians, then their activities is attached to your utterances. Your activities. Look at what the elders of Israel told Joshua. They said, whatsoever you say, we will what? We will do. That is the that is the danger of being led by a Christian leader who does not see. It means you cannot do what God wants you to do, because your activities are in His utterances. His utterances is about what He sees. And that's how God leads the whole church. That men are ready to do, but they are without direction. God has worked the move of the Spirit of God in the resurrection. Psalm 110, He says, in the day of His power, His people shall be willing. In the day of thy power, He says, thy people shall be willing. So a ready heart is a move of the Spirit. But imagine that the one who leads does not have the words of God, and the words of God is not coming forth because he does not pray. He is blind. He is confused. He is directionless. He is doubtful. And then God's work is stunning. See, I'm led by the Spirit. So James says, prayer, it makes power available. That power is how we see. Notice something. He says, there appeared unto them what? Global tongues, like as of what? As of fire. Then he says, suddenly there was a noise as of what? A rushing mighty wind, and they filled the whole place where they were sitting. So they heard and saw before they was, they spoke. Is it clear? As they were filled in the midst of the speaking, they were doing. 3,000 got saved. There were interpretations. And what led to that? Acts 1:14-15. They continued in supplication and what? And prayer. Look at it. God's work amongst us is attached to prayers. Prayers. The more we pray, the more we see and know, the more we are going to say and speak what God is doing or wants to do. The more we speak, the more we are going to have strength and clarity of activities, the acts of the apostles. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So, the best time to actually obey God is when you're young. Some people spend their young age, the young times, doing diverse kind of things, except the things that God has asked. Now spend the later years of their lives on doing what they had done while they were young. You mustn't be like that. That's a life of curse. That I spend my older years on doing what I did while I was young. That's a life of curse. I will do what God wants me to do while I'm young. And I have all the energy. And I have all the energy. Praise God. So, when we obey God, we don't obey what? Halfway. Don't obey God halfway. Go all the way. Praise the Lord. You know, it's okay to walk up to your leader and say something like, I've been having a challenge. It's been quite challenging to maintain 3-4 hours of prayer every day because of this reason and this reason. And then when I tried, this is what happens, then that happens. And then how will you help me to maintain 4 hours, 3 hours, or 6 hours of prayer daily? That's a good conversation. Then in secrecy, your letter of God to take 6 hours in prayer, you only do 2. Because the reason is this, and conclude what I started mentioning now. The reason is this. I said, prayer makes what available? Power. Power is how we what? Get what? Things done. Look at this. There are things that God wants you to do. Now, look at me. I have not even said ministry. Even in the natural. Business, academics, school, your career, marriage, associations. There are things God wants you to do. And look at this. The way you to go about it requires so much energy that 2 hours cannot handle. So he says 4. But now you do 2. He says 4. I'll put it like the old timers put it. There is your destiny in God that requires so much power to drive. And that power is expressed through revelation, utterances, and divinely inspired decisions and activities. It simply means that for you, you can't go by it the way others are doing it. For you, now there are some things you will need to pick up that others in the world are also picking up. For example, you all have to go to school. But there's a way that God will have you go about it. That look at this. Naturally speaking, are you listening to me? Ordinarily speaking, the fact that you can't do it like them in the world is disadvantage already. You already at a disadvantage. Because it means that you can never make it. Except you go about it their way. But their way is not God's will. It's not God's way. It's in chaos. It's without void, dark, without form. So the Spirit of God brings you His own directive, which is your own advantage. The fact that you can't go about it the world's way, and you need to achieve that, it already looks disadvantageous. Except that, the Holy Ghost has a way for you. So He says, for you to explore your own way, there is a key. He says, prayer. Because prayer will bring you revelation. Prayer will help you to say the things you need to say, of which this old world and its affairs are built on spoken words. Then prayer will help you to have what I call divinely inspired what? Activities, choices, and decisions. Everything is present what? Where? In prayers. Everything is present where? In prayers. You take an hour to pray about the natural. Just pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And when you're praying, you don't pray with your phone with you. No. You don't pray with your phone with you. You put your phone away. You don't pray in the midst of distractions. That is why when you can't send people away, you go away from amongst them. See, that was what Jesus did. You can't have it differently. Jesus did the same. He had to leave people to go and pray. He left his bed. You cannot pray with your bed around. You are a human being. You can't deny the fact that you are a human being. You can't pray. Human beings don't pray with their beds around and pray effectively. It doesn't happen. You don't pray in the midst of technology, because technology is luxury and convenience. You see some people, they attend prayer meetings on Zoom. Who is doing you? On Zoom. That is not a prayer meeting. That is not a Christian meeting. You take away distractions. Put your life in prayer. 1 hour. If you're a member of this church, 1 hour praying in the Holy Ghost. And as you're praying, you will sense the Spirit of God laying new things in your heart to pray. Sometimes as you're praying, the Spirit of God will inspire an occurrence of thoughts. You'll find yourself praying for your leaders. Then after, find yourself praying about your disciples, about your business or businesses, about your friendships, about yourself, about an aspect of your life, about your conduct. You find yourself praying about your love walk. You find yourself praying about the life of patience. You find yourself praying about your zeal, about handling your emotions. You find yourself praying about generosity. You find yourself praying for open doors in the natural, for miracles. You find yourself praying to be a stronger Christian. You will find yourself dealing with many things in prayer. When you do that for long, you start receiving revelations. And coming alongside with those revelations are specific instructions on what directions to go, and what decisions to take, and what choices to make. And as you do that, you're building a life. You're building a life. Are you listening to me, church? That's how to be full of the Holy Ghost. And if you're a minister, you're conscious that there's a in your life, you will know by the Holy Ghost that 1 hour is not enough. Sometimes there's a boy that will come, take Now it's okay if you set out to pray 6 hours daily, you fell short. But see, in your life, have good struggles. Don't struggle with bad things. Struggle with the right things. Struggle with trying to get yourself to stay in prayer for 6 hours. Let those be your struggles. Let your struggle be in walking in love and not answering people back. Some of us, we got that terrible training from our parents, because our parents are just like that. And I'm not insulting any one of the parents, but I mean that's the truth. Remember when I was young, we used to live with these neighbors. I still remember her, the woman, and what they call her. Mommy, I remember the I don't want to mention the name, because I don't know where the teaching will go. She would incite her daughters. She had 3 daughters. She would incite the daughters. When there's a quarrel in the neighborhood, she will beat her daughter up. She will beat her daughter up. She will use this bowl that they used to wash clothes. We used to have this bowl, they call it agbaya. If you know agbaya, you have this bowl agbaya, these drums. She will carry the drum and smash it on her daughter, because her daughter did not beat another girl on the street. She will say things like, "Have I given your mouth to a clothes washer?" You say this. That why you were being abused, why could you not abuse back? And the fact that you did not abuse back, she would do for several minutes. People will have to come and rescue you from her hands. That's her own training. I remember while I was in, was it? Yeah, okay, but the boys, they attended boys' secondary school. I remember. They come to school to come and fight the teacher. And after a while, when the man came to school, for his boy, he will make sure that the boy fights the boy that had beaten him in his front. He will make sure. He will come from home to come and arrange a fighting competition. Because the other one had bullied his boy. He couldn't find any other way. So he will come to school. He will cause a scene. And he will make sure that boy, that his son, fights in his front. Even as his own son is being beaten before him like this. I remember those things. That's a bad training. Now imagine a father that does that. Imagine how he was trained. Imagine how such mother had been trained. So sometimes in our natural lives, in our upbringings, we've had some seeds dropped in our heart. We've been told that that is the way to live, that's the way to do. Are we together? Some people learn all their life that life is about competition. That the moment you see somebody who has what you are trying to have, you must begin to hate that fellow. Some folks, that's what the parents have communicated. A sense of inferiority complex. A very dysfunctional, jaundiced parentage. When you see someone around you who has what you want, then what is making you happy around him, around her? The person passes an exam, you didn't pass. Why are you shining your teeth? What is making you happy around her? Can't you see? And then you begin to develop that hatred. Unknowing to you, seeds have been sown of jealousy, of bitterness. Bitterness. But God says that is not your way. Is it clear? That's not your way. That's not your method. Yet as God's word comes to you, it changes you, isn't it? Isn't it? God's word offers you new perspective to life, new perspective to living. It shows you things differently. And as you pray, power is made available to walk in the word. When the word of God shows you what God wants you to do, look at me. The way you're going to get yourself to doing it is through prayer, nothing else. When the word of God shows you who you are, you don't automatically begin to walk in it. When the word of God begins to show you your ministry in Christ, you don't automatically begin to fulfill your ministry. Nobody fulfills their ministry automatically. Look at it. The moment Jesus had met Saul of Tarsus and had showed him that he was going to fulfill his ministry and suffer and preach the gospel and the world is world. The Bible says he went and he started praying. For 3 days he was praying. For 3 days he was praying. He was praying. He was praying. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the walk wherewith I have called them. Known that it is time they bore it up in prayers. It is season of prayer, church. Are we together, church? It is season of what? It's a season of what? Prayers. 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 Let's pray some more tonight as we see this. Just pray. Prayer for you.
It's actually prayer failure. So power failure is prayer failure.
So take time and go and pray.
And don't stop praying.
Because look at this.
Whatsoever prayer gets you is sustained to prayer. If prayer got you something, it simply means that it was a supernatural provision. Supernatural provisions do not continue. Are we together? When you get into the flesh, it will stop.
It will stop. Supernatural wisdom is attached to prayer. Because you're going to see that the scripture is replete and complete. So you see that man, the king of Israel, Solomon, and right there in Chronicles, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, or when the Lord appeared to him in a vision, yeah, he was in prayers. And then he made those requests for wisdom. It's very clear that the wisdom that Solomon had was beyond his age. It was a supernatural wisdom. By the time you look at his life in his 80s and 90s, he now started writing about the vanity of life, showing that all he had pursued in his life was foolishness and vanity. What happened? He had paused on the activity that led to the supply of the wisdom. He had paused. So the things that prayer brings, the challenge many times is that we, in prayer or through prayer, lay hold on the seed form of what we are trusting God for, the seed form of it, and then we become satisfied and would not pray again. Many times. And that's why the teaching of God's word, one of the major things, perspective, perception, that God's word brings to us is that God's word actually makes us to God's word makes us or helps us to actually see ourselves in a supernatural environment. Foundational to Christian knowledge as the book of Genesis is, as foundational, as defining in perspective, as defining
in your perspective as defining as the book of Genesis is, you see that right from Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, the moment we saw the creation of man, the making of man, the very first things that was communicated to us in the book of Genesis is that man is in the midst of supernatural beings.
Are we together?
Man is in the midst of what? In the midst of what? Supernatural beings.
Genesis 1,
what you see? You see, he has not said anything. He simply said, the Spirit of God move on the face of what? Of the waters. Are we together?
Are we there? Now, you know, we have explained the water as, that particular water was the dark waters, right? Right? Darkness on the face of the deep. So those were dark waters. We've taught dark waters as what? The state of what? The unbelieving men, isn't it? But do you know that particularly, who were those unbelieving men? The audience of Moses, right? Israel in Egypt. Those were the dark waters in Genesis. Even though that also explains the state of every man everywhere who had not received the gospel. But these persons, at that moment, is Israel in Egypt. Darkness on the face of the deep. So you now see, he says, the Spirit of God does what? I'm actually in the midst of a particular meeting I should be having tonight, and we are not having. I'm in the midst of that meeting. Okay? Alright. So that's why I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm choosing to have the meeting without having the meeting. Good. So, he says, darkness on the face of the deep, right? Right? Okay? So, he says, the Spirit of God move on the what? On the what? On the face of the waters. Are we together? On the face of the waters. To show you two things. You're going to see grains of those thoughts. The first thing it shows you is that the dark waters are in a supernatural atmosphere. Because it says the Spirit of God is moving, and that moving is a hovering, to hover. In the Jewish custom, when that word is used, moving on the face of the waters, it describes to brood over something. Or, Jewish etymology, move on the face of the water is also a language that describes to be around something seeking for entry. You get it? And if you understand what Moses was writing, you will know what I just said now is the case. That the Spirit of God is seeking for entry. Why? Because Moses had brought God's word. Are we there? Moses had brought God's word to a disobedient people. So the Spirit of God, God's word to a disobedient people, the Spirit of God move on the face of the water. It's a presence that seeks entry. Very similar to what you read in Revelation 3. Behold, I stand by the door, what? Knocking. That's the same thing. If any man opens, I will what? Come in and die. Are we there? That's the same thing you are reading in Genesis 1. The Spirit of Jesus moving on the face of the water, that is Jesus present at the door of the heart. Behold, I stand what? At the door. Doing what? Knocking. If any man does what? Yes, and what?
opens, then I will do what? I will come in, I and my what? Father, I will do what? Will dine. Did you see that? Did you see that? So, by seeing Genesis 1:3, the Spirit of God move on the face of the waters is to show you that the waters of Genesis is in a supernatural environment. And part of the supernatural entity, or part of the thing that builds or makes up the supernatural environment, is the Spirit of God. He is one of the entities that make that atmosphere. I showed you, by the time you move on in the same chapter, are we there? Are we there? Are we there? You now see, he says, let man have what? Dominion. Over what? Creatures. Now, obviously, I've showed you that the dominion, I've not said it like this before, so listen, because that every time I come to Genesis 1, I always say it in a different way. The same thing. The dominion, he says, man should have. From what you read in the text, he says, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, right? The fish of the sea, creeping things on the earth. Isn't it? Isn't it? Creeping things on the earth. Now, by mentioning creeping things on the earth, he qualifies that dominion. Genesis 1. But look at something. He says, if we have dominion, notice that of all the things that man was said to have dominion over, another man is not present. He never said man will have dominion over man, because that was not God's plan. But now he says man will have dominion over creatures. Isn't it? Isn't it? Creatures. Later in chapter 2, you observe that God brings those what? Creatures to man to do what? To name. Look at me, everybody. How many creatures did he say he brought to man? Huh? How many? All the things that he had what? He had made. Are we together? Now, did you think he brought fish out of the water to man? Answer me. Does that make any logical sense? Huh? No. So whatsoever Moses was teaching was not literally, was not literal. He wasn't teaching boldly. Or what do we call it now? We call it a nomenclature. He wasn't teaching nomenclature. Nomenclature. He brings all the creatures to man, and I told you, he says to see what he will call them, and whatsoever he calls them, there it is. Are we together? Obviously, man was not naming the animals. Neither was he giving them their attributes. Whatever he explained as the creatures of God. Look at this again. Go and qualify that. Look at this again. He says he brings all the creatures to who? To man. In chapter 2. In chapter 1, he says man will have what? Dominion over the what? The creatures. Are we together? Notice something. Notice that the dominion that man will have over the creatures is not a kind of lordship. Are you with me? The question is this: who is the man of Genesis 1:26? Let us make man in our image. So the man who is in God's image, we have what? Dominion. Are we together? So the dominion has to do with an office. Man, in occupying an office, called the image of God. What does the image of God mean? One who functions in God's stead. Are we together? Are we together? The image of God, telem, the likeness, demuth in the Hebrew. It means when you want to see me, go to him. He will show me to you, including my counsel. Are we there? So God making man in his image is that man will minister, look at these three things, his counsel, his character, which is his dominion. So when he says let him have dominion over, is it a dominion man is going to cover from himself, or God is the man is effecting God's order on the creature? Because man is functioning in his who? His image. So man in our image having dominion is man ministering our purpose and plan over the creation. Man will minister my purpose, my plan over the what? The creation.
Are we together?
Are we together? Now the question is, what is the creation? The creation
are not animals.
If you go into the latter books of the scriptures, you begin to see that of the air, of the fields, under the sea, is used to describe the abode of supernatural beings. Paul will later explore that text, and he didn't mention animals. That he gave Christ a name that is above what? Every other name. That sees in heaven, on earth, and what? Under the earth. Are we together? That is, birds of the air. Are we together? Now, Paul is interpreting the Old Testament to the church. So when he reads birds of the air, fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea is below earth level. Paul explains that as the dominions and authority that exist supernatural. Is it clear? That means man is created to function in the supernatural world. Man who is now in God's image will minister God's order, is it clear, to that world. Man naturally was created to function in the supernatural world. Man who is now in the image of God is the one that will minister order. The man who is not yet in the image of God is going to be caught up in the chaos.
Are we together?
Are we together? He is going to be caught up in the chaos. What has led to the chaos, or what has brought about the chaos? The supernatural environment. The supernatural environment. The supernatural environment. So, if you are reading in Genesis 1, you are reading darkness on the face of the deep. Is that darkness physical or spiritual? Simple. Now, what led to that darkness? Supernatural beings. They are spirit personalities that are responsible for the chaos amongst men, including 2025. And it takes the man who has the Spirit of God in him to minister what? Order. To put those creatures where they what? Belong. Which is what Moses meant by whatsoever he called them, they what? They were. He recognized his place among supernatural beings and put them in order. And that is the office of the man in Christ.
Where am I going? Well, I started earlier. So look at this. The Spirit of God is how we navigate in the midst of what? The chaos. Because the chaos is spiritual. Look at me. Look at me. When you pick your phone, and you go into TikTok, and you see all manners of nudity, worldliness, gangsterism, chaos and decadence. What is responsible for that? Are we together? Our spirit personality. How do they do their work? Diverse ways. But part of it is to create doctrines that informs of a worldview that calls for a common practice. Which is why you have to be cautious where you get your knowledge from. The foundational principles that guide your life, where you get it from. If where you get it from is from the media, you will be caught up in the chaos and there's nothing anybody can do. Do you get it? So man is present where? The dark waters refer to which audience particularly? Israel. Was Israel in the midst of supernatural beings? Look at me, everybody. Look at me. And this is where I'm going. Those supernatural beings, look at me. I'm not scaring you. They will frustrate your business. They will frustrate your academics. They will frustrate your relationships. They will frustrate your ministry. Their work is to bring about all manners of frustrations. Your wisdom, therefore, your own strength is therefore being led of God, which is attached to call unto me and I will answer and I will show you, attached to a prayer life. So prayer for you is not an option. It is not. And the more serious your prayer is, the higher the altitude at which you fly. Because prayer is there for how you function as the image of God. Let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion. That dominion is ministered through what? Prayers. Sometimes they will want to frustrate you from a health perspective. Satan can come. And when we say Satan, you know, that word is a generic word, Satan. Sometimes when we say Satan, people are thinking of a particular personality. No. No. When we say Satan, we are also using, scripture uses that word, Satan. Not only for, is a function, obviously it's an office. But even when a supernatural being is being referred to Satan, it also refers to other spirit personalities under his order. So, a demon, look at this, a demon can come and put his finger in your flesh. And then you discover that something is going bad. Even if you use drugs, that is not the answer.
Wisdom is what? Prayers. So that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. So, for you, if you are not going to join the chaos and swim in the river of chaos, be drunk with the wine of chaos, eat the bread of chaos, and love the lamb of chaos, how did David put it? Blessed is the man who does what? Who walks not in the counsel of what? Of the ungodly. Nor sit in the seat of what? Of the scornful. Nor stand in the way of what? Of sinners. But his delight is in what? The counsel. It is his delight in the Bible. It is his delight in the Bible. His delight is in the counsel of God. Counsel means the leading of God's Spirit, which obviously comes to us from reading and studying and meditating on the written word, but not limited to that. You observe that one of the things that God's word does to us, the written word does to us, is that it gives us a common directive. But beyond that, there's also the leading of the Spirit beyond that. The written word is meant to lead you into an experience. The written word is given you so that you can experience the Spirit within. So that's why there's something called personal leading. The corporate leading takes you into personal leading. That is the Spirit of God being able to chart your course, guide your life, give you personalized directive that applies to you but does not apply to me. Because in that area I am not involved, you are the one doing it. Are we together? Look at this. I can teach everyone here to walk in love, but somebody can be married, another is not married. The way he applies walk in love is different than you, because you are not yet in the what? A marriage. Are you with me? Are we together? So, how do I personalize that common thing that has come? That is the Spirit within. That's what prayer does. So, you just be in the services, teaching God's word, receiving God's word, but you will not be learning properly. Well, you know, we have used different ways to explain it. We have used identification. We have used... That's what I'm talking about. We teach the same thing to all. And the pastor labors to ensure he is understood. And labor in teaching is not only so that you will know what the pastor is saying. The pastor labors so much in teaching so that you will also know what he is not saying. So after that is clear, the Holy Ghost now depends on your own personal prayer to apply what you all got corporately to you in a way that it applies to you because of your own world, your own decisions, which might even be different from the things going on currently in the pastor's life. And then the fact that the pastor is teaching it does not also mean he will walk in it all. The pastor will then also have to pray like you, so that the Spirit of God can also help him or her to apply what he is teaching in his life, in events that maybe no other member of the flock is going through. So he does a corporate work, he does individual work in us as we pray. As we pray. So, one of the chaos is an approach of hell to frustrate the things you do.
And there's one target:
distraction. To halt you, to stop you. Discourage him.
If you can't discourage him,
distract him.
It starts with, look at this,
stop him. Now that we discover we can't stop him, okay, let us distract him. If we discover we can't distract him, okay, let us do what? Discourage him or her.
It's a function of hell. Is it clear? But as we pray, we outsmart the enemy. We outsmart what? Okay. Is it clear, church? We outsmart what?
So take our time to pray. Steal the time to go and pray. Don't be an idiot. Steal the time, go and pray. Steal the time.
I like what the preacher said. The preacher said that
the presence of Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram in our world today is actually going to stand against us in the last day as valid reasons or proofs that we actually had time to pray if we have set it out. But we chose not to pray.
We chose not to pray. The presence of these social medias, YouTube, Facebook, there will be a witness that actually there was time to pray. But we chose not to pray. Not that there was no time to pray. And thank God. So there's an emphasis on prayer tonight.
Are we there? If you're a member of a church, take an hour. Daily.
Very beautiful if it can be at the same time,
at the same place. At the same time, at the same place. Take an hour. An hour is not much these days.
An hour is not much these days. See, the word of God is changing.
Take time out of it. The leading of God's Spirit for your life is in that 1 hour. Is in that 1 hour. The power to break through is in that consistency with the 1 hour. Take it out. Go pray. Strength over that conduct is in the 1 hour. The strength over that flesh is in 1 hour. The strength over that distraction is in 1 hour. Is in that 1 hour. The solution to that breakthrough, lack of breakthrough in revelation, is in that 1 hour. The clarity and the depth of your teaching, ministry, and grace is in that 1 hour of prayer. If you're a leader, you know by the Spirit of God in your heart that 1 hour will not do it. Take time to pray. Before you teach, pray. Before you preach, pray. Before you do the business, pray. Before you go out to class, pray. Before you interact with other people already immersed and drunken with the wine of chaos, pray. Pray.
Because we live in the the supernatural world. Everything around is governed,
directed.
The seasons of life, the activities of men, decisions.
When you see a common issue amongst men,
you know there is a supernatural touch to it. A massive sickness, there is a supernatural touch to it. A massive kind of confusion, there is a supernatural touch to it. A culture embraced by all that does not glorify God, there is a supernatural touch to it. Are we together? God is calling us to pray. Is it clear to you?
So the strength to obey God,
which I'm closing,
that strength to obey the Lord fully is in prayer.
When you have not prayed, some things look difficult. When you have not prayed, some things look very challenging. Why is it that when I'm done praying, the things that look difficult suddenly becomes possible? I love what Bill Johnson said. Bill Johnson said, you know faith is in action when something that you have counted as impossible suddenly begins to look logical. The moment what others call impossible looks logical to you, you know faith is at work. Prayer is how we stir up the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Some of us are getting so prone to using drugs and relying on medical science more than you ought to. Nothing wrong in medical science. Nothing evil in drugs. But when your trust and reliance is on the wisdom on the arm of man, what happens when you have built your life entirely on something? When that thing fails, you're gone for. You will not be gone for. We'll build our hearts. We'll build our focus. We'll build our trust on the power of prayer. And prayer is changing us. And prayer is walking with the word of God in our hearts and is changing us. And prayer is changing lives. And prayer is transforming disciples. And prayer is increasing and strengthening our ministries. And prayer is helping us to have and to lay hold on more harvest. And prayer is making us wiser in life. And we are making decisions that are expanding and fulfilling God's plans in the name of the Son of God. Let's just pray for ourselves for a few minutes tonight. Just pray for ourselves. Let us have a song again. Let us have a song again.
I am taking hold of your word. Prayer. Your word is changing. I am taking all of your word.